Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, St. Joseph's standout forward and DMV alum Isaiah Miles talks about his career, Philadelphia Big Five, and Atlantic 10 basketball. Phillies GM Matt Klentak, manager Pete McKinnon, and pitcher Aaron Nola discuss their preparations for spring training and address some key issues with this year's team. Wrestling gurus Gene Wass, Sam Bergio, and Jack Logic preview the EPC Challenge and district tournaments and sound off on a number of controversial issues, plus highlights and recaps of some of the top Washington, D.C. high school hoops teams and Pennsylvania high school sports features. These topics and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. Thank you so much for joining us on Sports Talk. We have a great show lined up for you with some very special guests. So let's lead off the program by going to the phone lines and bringing in St. Joseph's University standout forward and a former high school great down in our DMV region, Mr. Isaiah Miles from St. Joe's. Isaiah, thanks for joining us and welcome to Sports Talk this evening.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Congratulations to you. Well, let's start with last night's game, a game high 27 points, 12 rebounds, and a win over UMass. You played all 40 minutes, and more importantly, your team won its sixth straight ball game in 13 of your last 14 games. So tell us what it's like to be playing on such a high level, both from an individual standpoint and the team's been playing so well for the last six, 7 weeks.
It's a great feeling. You know, we have a lot of competitiveness between the guys, and, mm-hmm. you know, we love to compete and just play at a high level. I think we're all ready for it, and it's just a great feeling when you can play at this level because you feel like you can compete with mostly anyone in the nation. So, I mean, it's a great feeling playing at this level.
Now, I've seen a number of your games, and we kind of live in an age where people like to label players or put them in a position. I've seen you play. You can play in the paint. You can play. Play offense and defense down low. You can step back and hit the mid-range jump shot. You can hit threes. You really have a multi-dimensional offensive approach. Could you even describe how you play and would you assign yourself for one position or another? And how much does your versatility help you and the team out?
My versatility helps us out a whole lot because, you know, most of the time I play a center, so I'll be at the five where mm-hmm. I'll be matched up with taller, bigger guy, so, you know, that gives me a chance to go out to the three-point line, and I can use my speed to go by him, or, you know, if I'm playing, like, a short guy, I can take him down to the post and just face up and use my height to shoot over them, but, just just being able to play inside and outside, it's a great addition to this team.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, how much does that ability to spread the floor not only help you now, but I would think down the road after what I hope for you is a long playoff run, I would think a number of NBA teams would like to have you on their team as someone that they can bring in and really spread the floor on opposing teams.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, spreading the floor is a great deal, especially when you have other scorers. Like, I know DeAndre would appreciate me spreading the floor because when guys stay attached to me on the outside, it gives him driving opportunities to take his man one-on-one, and he get easy buckets like that. So, I mean, spreading the floor is definitely huge with this team and the space in the floor and able to create offense.
Now, against the VCU in the Atlantic 10, they haven't lost a game in the league all year. They had their toughest game, though, when you played them. You lost by three, and I hate to ask you about a loss after so many wins this year, but could you talk about what did you do well in that game that very few teams across the nation have been able to do against VCU, and how much would you love another crack at them in the A-10 playoffs?
I think a major thing was us staying composed against their mm-hmm. their press and their havoc defense. Us staying composed and we staying within ourselves, not doing anything out of character, and taking advantage of the matchup with me and Mo Ali Cox had. Like I said, he's a great defender, but I was able to try speed a little bit and shoot over him and drive by him, but. You know, that's a game that we had won, and, you know, it slipped away at the end, and we were all, you know, kicking ourselves about it still, and we would love to play them again. I mean, it would be a great opportunity to play them. I think we do play them again, actually, and, you know, we're all looking forward to that game because, you know, we still have that bitter taste in our mouth where we could still be undefeated in the league, but, you know, that we let that game slip away.
Now, you won five games against six Philadelphia opponents. And I know when I covered the Big Five, those games when the five teams and then the Drexel later on, when they would play each other, those games were always special, and a lot of people would talk about the tradition. As a player coming up through college and playing in Philadelphia the last few years, do those Big Five games still, are they a little extra special for you, and is it nice to get wins against Temple and LaSalle, of course, in the league, but also Penn when you get a chance?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you want to play in the atmosphere, and I love playing in the Palestra as one of the gyms. You know, it's a historical gym, and I'm honored to be a part of it. And, you know, just the atmosphere, you know, the crowd into it, and you give Philadelphia a chance to show that, yeah, we're, you know, Villanova is a good team, but also St. Joseph is a team to be reckoned with too. And, you know, we get a chance to show that and display that for guys who probably in Philadelphia who probably don't know much about us.
Our special guest leading off the program is St. Joe's standout forward Isaiah Miles and former DMV high school great. I want to ask you about playing for Phil Martelli, because he's not only a great coach, but he's a celebrity in the Delaware Valley area. He does a lot for charities. He has the Hawk Talk show, which I know is very popular, and he's very approachable to the media. So what's it like as a player? What's it like playing for him, and what's your view of Coach Martelli?
Oh, yeah, I love playing under Coach Martelli. You know, he pushes everyone, including me, to your fullest potential. You know, he allows us to play to our highest strengths. Mm-hmm. And he's just a competitor, you know. He wants to win. And, you know, when the coach has that energy, if the rest of the team, we feed off of that, and we want to win, make him proud. But, yeah, I mean, I love playing under him. He's a really great coach.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, you don't want to look too far ahead, but I know you got St. Bonaventure coming up and then George Washington in the next week. Those are two teams right behind you in the standings. What are some of your keys going into that ball game? What are some of the things you have to do to be successful? And is it too early to start looking at the standings and start looking at, okay, you know, here's St. Bonaventure coming up, GW. If we can win against these guys, we really have some separation heading into the final weeks before the A-10 tournament.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's early. You know, you want to focus one game at a time. But, you know, beating those guys, since they're high up on the stands, will be great for us. You know, they're two really good teams. And I feel like if we just play our game, and we have so many options on this team, that if we all just start clicking together as one team, I mean, we're a hard team to stop. So I feel like if we don't worry about who's on the other side of the court and we play our game and we play our game plan and our scout, I think we should be fine against basically any team.
Mm-hmm. Before we let you go, Isaiah, I want to ask you about playing in the DMV region and coming up in the quality of basketball down there. And you have a lot of current teammates at St. Joe's that played on some pretty good teams in the Philadelphia region. So what was it like playing in the DMV region? And do you ever argue with your current teammates about who has the better brand of high school basketball, the Philly region or down in Maryland and D.C.?
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty sure every away game when we're in the hotels, we're looking up, you know, highlight tapes of, you know, my old high school tapes, or like their old high school tapes. We talk about who has the best high school program and what city has the best basketball. I'm always going to say Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was just a competitive vibe in Baltimore. I mean, I get that same feel when we play Philadelphia teams, and like that same city rivalry, it something about it just makes it the atmosphere that much fun and that much more competitive. And I feel like Baltimore, since it was so small and that it wasn't that many good teams in one area, that when they had a huge game in one specific area between two teams, it got crazy. The gyms got packed. I mean, that's a great atmosphere that you want to play in.
Well, Isaiah, thanks so much for joining us here on Sports Talk this evening. Continued success to you, and good luck in Fordham coming up on Saturday.
Thanks a lot.
All right, our pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Isaiah Miles, outstanding forward for St. Joseph's University, former great high school player down in the DMV region, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on Sports Talk. Now, before we introduce our in-studio guests, it's time to unveil the trivia, give you a chance to win tonight's prize at home. We have an extra special prize to go along with our usual prize to give away, but tonight's question deals with a little thing called the Super Bowl, which you probably heard a thing or two about on ESPN, if you've been watching that channel over the last couple days and all the hype. Although nine other teams other than Carolina have reached the Super Bowl with one loss or less, only one other team this millennium has accomplished this feat. So we're looking for you to name the team that achieved this, and in which Super Bowl did this one-loss team play? So you have to correctly identify the team that had one loss or less this millennium that reached the Super Bowl and correctly identify the numbered Super Bowl that they played. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And our extra special prize to give away, Cody Ashe, third baseman, left fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies. We have a bobblehead to give away. So in addition to the VOD certificate, good for $10, you also get a bobblehead by winning tonight's prize. All right, let's introduce our special guest, as we're going to be talking a lot of wrestling for the remainder of our program tonight. From left to right, across the screen, people on the podcast just have to imagine them, if you will. Jack Logic, Gene Wass, and Mr. Joe Craig. Sam Bergio, I cannot believe he didn't want to leave Florida to join us for this year. Usually drives up from Florida to do the show, but with a blizzard and everything, I guess we'll cut him some slack. But gentlemen, thanks for coming here on the program.
Glad to be here.
A ton of wrestling to talk. Before we get into all the different issues, I want to ask you about the EPC challenge itself. You have Becca versus Nazareth. The Hawks obviously are big favorites heading into this special event, first time for this event. But your thoughts, first of all, on the individual matchup. Gene, we'll start with you. Becca versus Nazareth.
Well, Ryan Nonnemaker had said in the paper to coach for Parkland about a week ago, he thinks Becca High's on a different level. We're going to find out. Nazareth has had a great year. They're undefeated. They won the Virginia duels. I think Becca High's favored, of course. I think it'll take a lot for Nazareth to win. But it should be interesting. There's a lot of good individual matchups, that's for sure. Jack, what do you think?
Well, I concur with you. I hate to be boring and all that, but like I said, I see Nazareth winning three or four bouts, and they are a very fine wrestling team. But like I said, Becca's on the caliber of when Northampton, Nazareth, and Easton dominated wrestling in the late 90s, early 2000s. Becca's just there.
Joe?
Well, I think it's going to be a good match. I don't think it's going to be a great match, but I don't think anybody that wrestles Becca other than Blair Academy is going to give them a great match locally. But there'll be some good matchups. I think one thing to watch is Klump from Nazareth. If he moves down to 106 early, he may be down at 106. So you have a nice matchup there with Glenn from Bethlehem Catholic, which that could be a very interesting bout. And then there's a number of others, but it should be a good one. I think Becca's just too strong for anybody around here, really.
What do you think of the whole concept of the EPC challenge? You have nine, you know, have the matchups, you know, going in descending order, leading up to the top teams from each division. What do you think of the general concept?
Well, I think with the way they divided the league this year, having nine teams in each division, and not all of them are going to wrestle each other. Mm-hmm. That was the reason they came up with this, because, you know, like Nazareth didn't wrestle Becca High. Easton didn't wrestle Bethlehem Catholic. So now there was a chance for that to happen. A lot of people in the area aren't too happy about this, but, you know, it's something different. We got to give it a try. Having 9-8s and 7s wrestling at 11 o'clock, 6-5-4s at 1 o'clock, and then the 3-2-1s at 3. I'm not so sure they're going to get great crowds for the first two sessions. Maybe they should have divided it a little bit, maybe had the 2s with the in the middle, you know, with the 9 and 8s or whatever. But we'll see. It's the first year. We'll see how it goes.
Jack and
Yeah,
Jack.
We should tell our listeners, reviewers, as at East Erie Middle School, So if they want to come out, Saturday, that's where it's at. And like I said, Eastern Parkland will be interesting. And
very good match.
And Liberty will probably be the third team in bracket B. And they'll probably face somebody decent like Northampton. So some of the rivalries will be at least wrestled. At least we'll see them. So overall, they're trying. Or you can give them E for effort. And as a wrestling fan, I'll be there.
Joe, do you like the divisions?
Well, I see what they're doing. And see, I like the situation where everybody wrestles everybody in the league. I think it can be done, especially in wrestling. I mean, why can't you have a few Saturdays where you got four teams and you get three dual meets? I mean, they wrestle three bouts in a day all the time in wrestling. You could have had, as an example, you could have had Liberty, Freedom, Becca, and Easton. On a given Saturday, Liberty wrestles all three of them at three time periods. Becca wrestles all three of them at three, and you could have had, everybody could wrestle everybody with just a little bit of inventive kind of scheduling. I think it could have been done. Yes, you're going to have some murders. You're going to have the Beccas go against the Allens. Yeah, that you're going to have some real blowouts. But I think everybody could have wrestled everybody. Now, gives you 15 competitions, and I understand the situation there. Some of these schools want to go to all these tournaments and wrestle this great competition out of the area, and that's good. But you still would have room to do some of that. But I think everybody in the league could have wrestled everybody without just doing a lot of dual meets on 15 dates. That they didn't have to do it that way.
Do you think teams would benefit from that when you have, like, Becca beating up on a team that's struggling and vice versa? Would that benefit either team?
I don't think that
matters.
You have a league, and you don't think about that in other sports. I mean, if we don't worry about some of those matchups in a lot of other sports, there's just as bad matchups in almost every sport you can think of.
Is that good for the kids, though, to just go up and get beat up and have these enormous scores?
You're going to have a league, have a league. I really believe that. If you're going to have a league, have a league. And yes, you're going to get some big mismatches. It's going to happen. But you're also going to get situations where the teams that don't have much are going to wrestle teams that are close to them that don't have much, too.
You know what, though, Joe? I think part of the problem with this whole thing is we've gone to so many multiple dual events, like Bethlehem Catholic wants to be, wrestling with Bergen Catholic and Blair Academy. You have Nazareth in the duels down in Virginia. Mm-hmm. The single dual meet is kind of dying, if you really think about it. And that's part of the problem, I think, where we can't have this everybody wrestle everybody. I think Joe's theory is right, but I don't think it can happen now with what all these other schools want to wrestle all these powerhouses around.
Well,
I think, honestly, as a compromise,
go back to three divisions and make sure A wrestles all the A teams and wrestle all the B teams, have 11 competitions. And that would be fair.
But again, in my mind, you prioritize your season. When you go into a season, and I don't care what sport it is, the first thing you want to do is win your city championship if you're a city school. But it's primarily you want to win the league. And then you want to do well in the districts. And then you want to do well in whatever is beyond that. Well, if you've got a league, that's got to be priority one. It shouldn't be, in my opinion, wrestling against some school from West Virginia in a holiday tournament. My priority should be wrestling in my league first. And then add those other ones as you can. That's just the way I...
Well, and the city championships have kind of gone out the window.
No,
because
I understand. But Liberty wants to beat Freedom.
Right, Liberty didn't wrestle Becca.
They both want to beat Becca. Allen wants to beat Deerif. They want to beat Central. You've got those big rivalries there. But to me, your league should be the first consideration. And I just believe that a league, if you have a league, if you can at all do it, people should compete against everybody in the league. I really believe that.
Let's go to the phone lines. Larry from Northampton would like to talk about high school wrestling. Larry, welcome to RCN Sports Talk this evening.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Your comments, please? Go ahead.
I miss everybody in the league playing each other. Mm-hmm. I really like that. I think the league is the most important thing to win. I really don't care about Northampton going out and beating all the big boys at whatever tournament. I'd rather see them whip everybody's butt in the league, win the league. I want to go sit up in Northampton High School and watch them playing, Easton or Nazareth, or have to go up there and watch them. Seeing them beat up on the hometown schools is what's most important. Why have a league if you're not going to be playing to win it? it doesn't make sense. That's just my opinion, but I miss everybody playing each other.
Because, Larry, I've heard a lot of people saying that. Gene and Jack, do you think there might be some thought process to going back to something like that? And
I just don't think you can get up to 17 competitions. That's why I said compromise, make it 11, and keep the Easton and Nazareth, Easton Northampton, Liberty, Parkland, keep those rivalries alive. And just face it, there's no slap in the face to the bottom six schools wrestling each other and facing some of the B teams and make it 11. They are getting nothing out of, I'm sorry, Central Catholic going to Bethlehem Catholic and having a dual meet last 32 minutes and get on the bus.
But does Easton get anything out in football playing Pocono Mountain
West? Only twice all year.
I understand. I'm just saying that you're going to have mismatches in every sport. Basketball, you think Parkland gets excited about playing some of the teams they have to play in the league? They got to play them. It's in the league. And 17 competitions in wrestling, that's a lot of competitions. But how many are they?
But you're only playing football twice over.
But let's remember one thing. The coaches voted for this.
Yeah. Oh,
the coaches wanted this. It wasn't the Bob Hartmans and the leaders.
No, you're right.
The coaches wanted this.
They do.
So it's on them.
All right, Larry, thanks so much for your phone call this evening.
Good call, Larry.
By the way, you said about 17 games?
Yeah.
Well, when I was in high school, I graduated in 81, and it was either junior or senior year. We were 10-6, so that's 16 matches.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. I wish they'd go back to everybody playing everybody. Thank
you. All right. Thank you, Larry.
The only other thing just to throw in, too, we were very lucky with the weather up until this weekend. If you have 17 and you get backed up on games.
But you don't have to do it like that, individual dual meets. That's my whole point.
All right. We're going to continue our wrestling talk in just a moment, but right now it's the first of two features we have, recapping the action down in the Washington, D.C. region, talking some high school basketball. Here's our first of two D.C. Sports Minutes.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. With just four games left in the regular basketball season, let's take a look at the standings. In the ladies' division, the 12-5 Anacostia Indians are on top of the DCIAA division, with Wilson, Bell, McKinley Tech Trainers, and Cardozo rounding out the top five. The ladies of Friendship Collegiate Academy lead the charter schools with 10 wins against 5 losses. National Collegiate Prep is number 2, followed by Washington Latin PCS, E.L. Haynes, and Idea Public Charter School. In the men's division, the Woodson Warriors stay on top of the D.C. State rankings. They are the only undefeated team at 23-0. Following at number 2, the Roosevelt Rough Riders. They stand with 21 wins against 2 losses. Rounding out the top 5 are Thurgood Marshall Academy, Cesar Chavez, and National Collegiate Prep. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest in studio tonight, Jack Logic from the WGPA Saturday Morning Show, which he stars in, along with a couple other people. Gene Wass, a former wrestling official and a wrestling guru, along with Joe Craig and myself. We're talking wrestling. Let's go to the phone lines. And we have Ninja on the phone line. Ninja, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, gentlemen. Chris, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Is that your real name?
That's what they call me.
Okay. Just check.
I like the name, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Fire away with your question, please.
Okay. It's more of a comment for the esteemed panel, and it's going to be controversial. Let's bring back writing time to high school wrestling, and I'll tell you why. I watch a lot of college wrestling, and the recurring theme from the announcers is that guys coming out of high school, you got 4-time state champions. You got multi-state place winners competing, and they're not good on the mat. I just think it adds to the excitement of high school wrestling. It adds to the strategy. I personally like a wrestle match where you see the advantage time clock either click down below a minute or go up to a minute. It's 1 point. Back in the day, back in the 70s, they gave 2 points for riding time, and now we're down to nothing. Yep. And then I just think to create a more well-rounded wrestler.
All right, guys, what do you think about that idea?
Riding time.
I'll go first because I'm an old-timer. I enjoyed it back in the day. So I wouldn't mind having just 1 point because it'd make the difference of a match if somebody dominates for 2.5 minutes. They deserve to win the match. If it was 4-4, it should be 5-4, whoever dominates.
So that's one for riding time. What do you think?
Well, it's funny, Ninja, you bring this up because my brother-in-law, who was the NCAA wrestling chairman in 04 and 05, and I would go against what you think. I always said we should take riding time out of college, and this is why. Now, I was a stickler for stalling in the top position. When you're in the top position, if you're working for a fall, I have no problem with riding time. But most of the time, they're just stalling on the top, not trying to turn. Hey, when you're in the offensive position, your job is to turn the guy over. If you're just riding the guy, you're stalling, in my opinion. Your job in the offensive position is to turn the guy over. And if you're not working for that, I don't like the idea because being a former official, I was very tough on the top guy stalling. However, I will say one thing on your behalf. Watching some of these guys like Zane Rutherford and all ride like the pants off of people is pretty entertaining, I have to say. And it shows a skill level. I will agree. I just think sometimes that it bores people out with riding people and not trying to turn them over.
Ninja, thank you so much for your time, for giving us a call this evening. Let's go to Dan in Easton. Dan wants to talk about wrestling. Dan,
hey,
welcome to Sports
up,
Talk.
Alex, how you guys doing?
Good, okay, Dan. What's up?
Hey, not much. I understand what Joe's saying about having everybody wrestle. I think it's kind of ludicrous. I mean, I used to, being a former coach at Allen, and now I can be a fan for a little bit. You know, I would like to see, you know, the Becca Easton, Becca Parkman, Easton Parkman and whatnot wrestle, but you can't have, and you're not going to convince Becca and Nazareth and Parkman to drop the tournaments they go to, like the Escape the Rock and King of the Mountain Beast and who's number one, you know. I mean, that's actually better competition, in my opinion, for Becca than the EPC is, although I do think Nazareth and Becca is going to be a dogfight, and yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Nazareth wins, but that's for another day. But, you know, because that's where Becca against her competition is from, you know, these tougher tournaments, because they have, a stacked lineup every year. So, I do believe. You know, so I know what Joe's saying, but it's just going to be impossible to convince the top echelon teams to, like, stop going to tournaments for 3 points instead of yeah. wrestling, you know, the weaker teams and whatnot.
Joe?
I understand where you're coming from, and there's a side of me that kind of agrees to that. But then I always go back to the same question. What's the point of having a league? And then I also have to weigh other sports. I mean, the Emmaus golfers don't want to golf against, you know, you name the school, who may have no golfing that's any good. But they do it because...
Yeah, but that's not a reason to
change
it, though.
No, wait.
Just because it doesn't work for all sports doesn't mean wrestling you can do this.
But I think it can work for all sports. But, you know, I'm a hardhead about it. I admit it. I'm an old-timer with it. Everybody wrestles everybody. Everybody played football against everybody. Everybody played basketball against everybody. That's just the way I was brought up, and I see a value to that. And I think we're getting away from the value of the league as opposed to what it used to be. It used to be a big thing to win the Big Eight or the basketball league or the wrestling league. That was a big thing. But now it's not so big.
Gene and Jack, I think you want to say something?
Just one thing to our caller out there. Just remember, you were a coach, you're a former coach. I know who you are. I know who this is. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the coaches who wanted this.
Yeah.
I know.
It's the coaches who wanted this. So, you know, you can speak to the choir, whoever you want. It's up to them if they want it changed.
Yeah. Dan,
and
thanks.
They're the reason it's going on.
Dan, thanks so much
good
for
call,
giving
Dan.
Us a call.
Thank
this
you.
Evening.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thanks, bud.
All right, let's go to one more call. We got to squeeze him in because this is an important guy here. If he's still on the phone line, Coach Kroll. Dave, are you on the line?
I am, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
This is what a great show this is. This is tremendous.
Well, it got better since you were on.
We appreciate that. We should have you here with us.
There's so many here topics. It's really great. And I have to say, I agree with everybody there that's on the panel. every single person I agree with. Yeah. It's just trying to get those things all together, and you can't have everything. Mm-hmm. You can't wrestle everybody in the league and do everything else that you want to do.
Right.
So,
yes, Dave, let me ask you and Gene a question. You're involved on this with the coaches' associations and stuff like that. Have they ever considered the fact that the number of competitions in wrestling, it's kind of unique compared to all other sports? Why would they not, so that teams could wrestle in their league, everybody, and still get those outside competitions? Why not go to 25, 28 competitions if a lot of them are being taken up at tournaments where you might meet 3, 4, 5 different teams? Why not increase the number of competitions? Because it wouldn't have to increase the length of the season. Have they ever thought of that, guys?
That's a really good question, Joe. Here's the issue. There are some places that the different states have different rules. I remember like a couple years ago, there were kids in some states that wrestled 80 bouts in 1 year. 80 bouts. That's like incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Which, is, in my opinion, is way too many.
Way too many.
So
yeah.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to limit the number of bouts that a kid wrestles, because coaches sometimes can be a little crazy, mm-hmm. and they can just like schedule everybody and just, you know, like saturate their kids with competition.
Right.
And I think it's just too much, in my opinion.
Coach Wally,
so
have you...
as far as our league is concerned, with 18 teams in our league,
right.
It's just it's a real challenge to do it. I will admit, I voted for the way that this thing went, and all the coaches did. Like a lot of things, you don't realize what you vote for sometimes until you see it play out for a year.
Yeah,
yes. And that's what happens. I think. And so now we ended up having a better team than what I would have expected to have. But you don't realize there's a huge difference in, you know, in different programs and,
right.
and where they are, the different levels that they're at. So you can't wrestle 17 bouts or 17 different dual meets and also get to some of these big competitions you want to go to. Mm-hmm. Now we go to like two big individual tournaments, and actually three big individual tournaments, and a dual meet tournament, which, in my opinion, that might be too much.
Yeah,
I would be in favor of, like, the PIAA maybe limiting to two tournaments a year.
Right.
That would free everybody up to wrestle more dual meets. And I will agree with you, Gene, 100%. I think we're losing the attractiveness of those local dual meets with those local rivalries.
Yeah,
and that's what brings people in. That's what keeps people interested. And I'll be the first one to admit I would do whatever would do to reestablish those local rivalries and things. And like there's some places in Iowa, for example, they did a poll at their state coaches convention. There was only like four teams that wrestled more than three home dual meets.
Wow.
Which, it's crazy. Like people, like coaches want to get their kids better, but what's happening is they're losing their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, very crucial thing, because once your sport loses credibility and like any kind of impact on your campus, then it's going to be a slow erode of the importance and the significance of your sport on your school in your school.
Dave, before we let you go, I have to take the opportunity here just to get your thoughts real quickly. You have Becca this Saturday. Your thoughts on that match and the EPC challenge overall?
I think it's really a novel idea. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. There'll be nine dual meets, and they should be nine really close dual meets, maybe present company excluded here. It's going to be it's going to be a tough match. Of course, they're, you know, one of the best teams in the country, you know, and we're going to do our best, of course, but I would think they would be a prohibitive favorite in our dual meet. But, you know, we're looking forward to that challenge. But this is the first time it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be, I think, an interesting concept of just pairing all those teams up from both divisions.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for spending some time, and best of luck on Saturday.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, David.
Right. Nazareth legendary head coach Dave Kroll on the line. Thanks to him for joining us. Real quickly, and just a note to the control room, I know we have some sound bites from wrestling head coaches. We're going to move that off to our next segment here and get that in a moment. Right now it is time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, where our panel identify someone or a group of people in the world of sports and single them out for doing something really good or something not so good. Real quick here, my thumbs up goes to Saucon Valley, four straight Colonial League title. The Colonial League does a really good job with their tournament. A lot of fun to be at. And a thumbs down to all the idiots, morons, and degenerates out there who speed and tailgate on icy roads. I there cannot stand that. Joe, go ahead.
Well, my first one was the same one you did with Saucon Valley. So I'll go to my second one, and that's to David Kakleris, Emmaus Basketball. Hit the 1,000-point mark last night. Great job.
Yep, good kid, too. Gene?
I'm going to go to one of our wrestling officials. And it could be a thumbs up, Bob Coletta, who is celebrating 50 years in the sport. He's refereed for 50 years. Now, some people say thumbs up, some will say thumbs down, and I know that is 50 too many. But, Bob, I'm giving you a thumbs up. I don't know how you lasted this long.
That is the worst compliment I've ever heard in my
life. There you go, Bobby.
Jack, how about you?
That's good.
We'll go to another wrestling official who's retiring, Bob Kern. Probably only second to Gene Waz in ability. And I thank Bob last night for all his cooperation during my early years as running the Eastern Lions Wrestling Classic. So thumbs up to Bob Kern. And thumbs down to Cam Newton every time they get a first down.
Another Cam Newton.
Generation.
You're the second one of this panel.
So, Cam, you're a great quarterback, but get your act together.
All right. We still have that trivia question out there. Again, if you're listening to us on podcast, we don't get a winner during the live show. You can email your correct answer. And the question again, what team besides Carolina has reached the Super Bowl this millennium with one loss or less? And in what Super Bowl did they do that? We're giving away a Kodiashi bobblehead in addition to a $10 video on demand certificate. One sport that definitely does not get much attention media wise is the sport of rifling. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler brings us this unique look at this sport.
Our season's been going okay. We could have been doing a lot better this year, but we're doing good with what we have. We're a team, we have a lot of fun, and that's all that matters is that we're having a good time out there.
I got involved by one of my friends, David, who was on my soccer team the earlier season. Tell me about rifle, and he's also on the team.
Freshman year, we saw the flyers for this, and we heard announcements. And at first, I didn't really know, since I had really no experience with rifle before, if I should join. But me and a couple friends who have never fired rifles before ended up joining.
I think it's a good sport for the students in school to get involved with. As you can see, the boys, the girls, they all compete equally. Size is not a factor. You don't have to be 6 feet something to be good at this sport.
To get involved with rifle, if you come to the high school, you'll hear, we'll have a meeting before the season starts.
Pretty much just contact the coaches and see, because they all have stuff about every single sport. Pretty much anyone you can just talk to and try to figure out some information about what you want to do.
Contact people in the sport, either the coach or shooters, and just start talking with people, show up to practices, see if you like it.
Rifle's a very individual sport, so once we begin our practice in November, each shooter tends to work on those things that are specific to the shooter. We practice 3 hours a night, basically. The shooters come, shoot their relays, practice. Sometimes if they need to, they would decide to shoot extra relays in preparation for the matches.
I could be doing better, but I think for my first year, I've been doing okay. I'm just hoping to improve over the next few years and getting practice in and everything.
The more you do it, you realize you got to do more stuff. Like, one thing is you can't eat too much any caffeine or sugar before, because your metabolism will actually make you miss a bit. Or just trying to stay calm and keep your heart rate down pretty much the whole time.
We go up to Berwick, we go up to North Pocono, East Stroudsburg North, East Stroudsburg South. We have a couple local ones like Liberty, Emmaus.
We do have districts. We also have an all-star shooting event. Each team sends two people.
We also have a state individual and state team matches, which come in the middle of February. League playoffs are also in February, where the top four teams shoot. We send three team representatives to the state team championships also.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guest, Gene Wass, Jack Logic. Joe's laughing about something. I don't even know what he's talking about. We have that trivia question out there. Which team besides Carolina has reached the Super Bowl this millennium with one loss or less? And we asked you to correctly identify which Super Bowl did this team play in.
Come on, guys, so again, out there. This is an easy one. I even knew this before I looked at the sheet.
Yeah, with the answer right in front of
you.
Although nine teams other than Carolina have reached the Super Bowl with one loss, only one team this millennium has accomplished this feat. So name the team and the Super Bowl they played in.
No brainer.
Before we continue with our conversation with Gene and Jack and Joe, we had a chance recently to go around to some of the local wrestling coaches and also some local wrestlers after some of their mats and asked them about their season, their team, but also about their input and their thoughts on the tournaments come postseason time. And here are some local coaches and wrestlers sounding off.
We had something to prove because we didn't wrestle as well as we thought we could have against Banger. So today we came out wanting to prove something, and I feel like we actually did our job.
I thought our freshman 132-pounder Kyra wrestled well. He's going up against an upperclassman. That kid's having a great year. And to pick up a major decision in an environment like this, I thought he wrestled real well. Jack Hill's coming back from an injury, and he's undefeated right now. And he picked up bonus points for us tonight, too. So, there's a lot of kids that did a lot of good things tonight. So
I wrestled well. I think that kid just didn't get tired, so it was a good match. I had to fight hard just to keep the score close.
I would say right now at the 2A level in districts, by far the best team is Saugus Valley. I think a lot of the other teams, ourselves, other teams at Colonial League, are dealing with some injury issues that are, weakening their teams, not making them as strong as they normally would be with those kids in the lineup. So I think everyone so far this year has been a little snake bitten at times. But for the individual tournament, I think it's going to be extremely competitive. I think there's a lot of weight classes that are very deep with a lot of good kids. It is definitely going to be a tough tournament in District 11 at 2A to place and move on to regionals.
Like I just said, Saucon Valley is, I think, one of the best programs in our Colonial League. Northern Lehigh beat us 29-28. They're very good, and we're going to wrestle Panargil. Panargil is definitely favored in that match, but we'll see what happens. And as far as, like I said, at District 11, it's Nazareth, Bethlehem Catholic, Easton, Parkland, but somehow they allow us to go wrestle in it, and I just think it's a waste of time. I'd rather be competing against other teams that are more at our level.
Overall, I'd say we've had more individual success than we've had team success. We've had a hard time fielding a full lineup for the dual competitions. We did start the year winning our first dual tournament down at the Knight Schools in Philadelphia, so that was a big positive. And the individual tournaments that we've entered, we've had numerous kids place, a lot of finalists. So far things have been good, but we know that things can get a lot better.
You and I, we need more dual meets. None of this five matches in one day is a waste of time for the wrestlers, for the parents. It's just not a good thing. Dual meets is where it's at. We should only have 30 bouts per season too. That's my thoughts, and I've been doing it for almost 40 years, and I've been on both sides of the rivers, and Pennsylvania better get their change some of these rules, or we won't be doing much of wrestling anymore, because kids are quitting left and right. We need to get back to lower the numbers of competitions. The goal is always to make it to the playoffs, all right? The Colonial League playoffs and the District 11 playoffs. Even though I think the District 11 does it wrong with having 12 teams compete, I think that's a waste of time, all right? Your top four teams should probably compete, maybe top six, not 12 teams, because it's really not doing any justice for us. And we're not one of the top six teams, but that's the way the PIAA does it here, and I have to accept it. I liked it better what they do in New Jersey.
He's laughing. All right, guys, Joe, Gene, and Jack, some interesting comments about wrestling in District 11. Joe, you want to start?
Well, first of all, Bangor's a AAA school. They get so many boys students, and that's how it's all based. So when it comes time to wrestle at districts, you're going to wrestle in the size school category that you're at. It's that simple. And nobody controls that. As far as the number of meets and matches, I think he's got a point. And I think, like we were saying earlier, there are some people that are wrestling too many times with an individual kid during the season. And then you've got to weigh that against the league responsibilities. So it's a tough one. So I understand where Rick's coming from.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let's take our break here because we have some guests on the line who want to take a shot at the trivia question. We'll continue up, continue our wrestling talk and let our callers get some say. And we also have our Phillies caravan recap coming up. But right now we have our second DC and DKN Sports Minute.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. In the charter school division, the ladies took the floor first as the Idea Timberwolves faced the Paul PCS Pirates. The game was close throughout with the Pirates nursing a 7-point lead going into the half. The ladies battled hard in the fourth as the T-Wolves would cut the lead to 2. But the Pirates, they would prevail. Final score, 31-26. In the men's division, the 2-9 Friendship Collegiate Knights visit the 12-11 Idea PCS Timberwolves. Friendship jumped out to an early lead, but Idea pushed back and battled hard to take the 3-point lead into halftime. The battle continued into the second half, with Friendship led by All-Met guard Alani Moore. The Knights come away with a tight overtime win, 69-64. This has been the DKN Sports Minute.
I'm anxious to talk to Howie. You know, Howie is capable of a lot, and I'm gonna just challenge him. I'm gonna challenge Howie and tell him, if you want to play more, if you want to play against lefties, you got to show me that you can hit lefties. You got to hit better. And basically, it boils down to that. And I think he's up for the challenge. I'm anxious for that. I know what kind of guy he is—a true competitor—and I'm gonna challenge him to make me put him in the lineup.
I think one of the things that's going to be important, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball, is controlling the strike zone. And that's not that, that is, as it, when you're pitching, you're trying to mismatch, you're trying to limit walks. It's not that complicated, but I think if we prioritize it, we'll do it. And on the offensive side, the same thing. We want to work deep counts and take our walks on offense and try to put the ball in play. And I think, you know, I don't think this is any novel concept. I think most teams are trying to do that, but we're absolutely going to be focused on it. And, you know, I know that if we're committed to it over the next handful of years, we will be good.
Cody has not actually lived up to his potential. We think he's a better hitter than he's shown. I'm anxious to try to get him playing time. One of the things that I'm big on that's important to me in the outfield is coverage. I want players with speed who can cover a lot of ground in the outfield. And we have basically, with Borges, Oduwel, and Altair, potential candidates in the outfield. There's 3 center fielders. They're all good center fielders. That being said, that's the kind of outfielders I'm looking for in the outfield.
We got a lot of solid guys in the club. And our chemistry's good, and I feel like it's going to continue getting better. I think we're going to have to form that core as a team and play as a team. If people want to do that, we're going to be strong.
All right, welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, closing minutes of the show. Let's go right to the phone lines. John from Allentown is on the line. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. John, how are you?
Good.
I believe you want to take a shot at our trivia question tonight.
Yeah, I believe it's the Oakland Raiders and Super Bowl XI.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Good guess, though.
Good try, though.
All right, thanks for calling this evening, John. And one more caller, Mario in Nazareth. Mario, you got a right answer for us?
Yay, how you guys doing today?
Good, Mary. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think the answer is the Patriots, 2007.
All right, do you remember which one that was? I think you got the right year, though.
What Super Bowl was it? Do you remember?
Oh, man, no, I don't.
You go back 8 years. You said 07, so if you go back 8 years, which would that be?
Well, this is
50. I can't think of the top of my head.
50 minus 8.
This is 50 coming up, and so that's 50 minus 8. Which one was it?
5 seconds. We got to move.
Oh,
this is a pressure question.
42.
There you go. There you go. All right. We'll be in contact with you after the show about winning the prize. Good job, Mario.
Good job, Mario.
Thanks for joining us. Real quickly, I want to give Gene and Jack a chance to talk about some of the comments at the end of the last segment. We've got 2 minutes, guys. Go ahead.
Well, I'm looking forward to the district duels. Should be really exciting to see who comes in second on both sides of the ledger, double A and triple A. I think Saucon Valley is the overwhelming favorite for AA and likewise Becca for AAA. So I'm anxious to see Easton Parkland and Nazareth get the next berth. And the same thing with, you know, with Pinard, Julie Heighton, and Northwestern getting the chance to go to States and AA. Gene?
Yeah. One last thing, just commenting on Rick Thompson with the dual meet dying. 1989, I had the Easton-Peaberg match, not to go back to glory days, but there were 4,500 fans there at Lafayette.
Remember.
Those days are gone. Yeah. And I think that's what Rick Thompson's talking about.
Yeah.
Joe?
Well, I've had enough. These guys, let these guys take the last time. I'm good.
Well, one thing I'd like to see more of is I wish Pennsylvania would go to junior high 7 and 8 so the high school wrestlers would come in grade 9 to the system and we'd get better JV matches, get more interest in the JV level heading into the varsity.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gene Waschak. Logic, always a fascinating program. Our thanks to Dave Kroll, who also joined us through the phone lines. And also a big thank you to Isaiah Miles from St. Joseph's University for joining us, having an outstanding career. It'll be an interesting match. We have Becca versus Nazareth coming up. That will be on RCN on tape delay on Saturday. And I think people overall are willing to give it a chance. And maybe we'll see if the EPC challenge comes back next year.
I think it's good wrestling. It's good for wrestling. Anytime you get them all together and get good teams versus good teams, I think that's good. Even the bad teams versus bad teams, at least it's an even matchup.
Right.
All
right.
And I think that's a good thing for wrestling.
So see the EPC challenge in person over in Easton. We'll have it on RCN as well. And we'll be back next Thursday with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.